Been a blessed weekend. I feel the Lord has truly been with us in our meetings. Went to Martinsburg yesterday and enjoyed a sweet time of fellowship. Heard good preaching. Thankful to the Lord for all that we enjoyed there. And then this morning to be at Union Church at Summer Duck and feel the Lord's presence in our fellowship there. And then to come tonight and be able to join together as we have in this little congregation and feel the Lord's manifest presence in the singing of the hymns. It's a great, great blessing. I always like it when brethren call more numbers than you can hardly get to, and you don't have to sit and wait for numbers, and sometimes they call numbers you can't sing, but those are the ones we can take some time and make some effort to learn, and the words that I saw in those songs make me want to be able to sing them because they declare the truth. And I pray the Lord will bless us tonight. The sweet prayer that's been offered, as well as all of your prayers, I do believe that as I come here to this place, that I come before praying people. I believe you have been praying for me, and that I can feel that. And that's a great, great comfort to a pastor to know that his congregation recognizes his weakness and also understands that we can pray for our pastor and the Lord will provide what he stands in need of and what is needed for us to have. He'll bless us to have it as we look to the Lord forward. Tonight, I hope we're not looking to anybody else. I hope we're not trusting in one another. If we do, we're trusting in men where there is no help. Certainly hope we're not looking to the world to help us out, because the world's not our friend. We're in an untoward generation. But I pray tonight that all of us are looking unto the God of heaven, who is indeed our strength and our shield. He is our strength and our shield. And tonight I hope I can say that in such a way that the Lord would bless it, that you might be able to see it, believe it, embrace it. And even though you believed it in the past, that you might see it more and embrace it more and leave here tonight walking more in the joy of the Lord in a way to honor and praise and glorify your Heavenly Father. The psalm that's on my mind tonight is the 100th division of the psalm. It's one that I know you've heard me speak on many times, but it's what's on my mind, and I trust it's of the Lord. There's only 5 verses in this psalm, but the more I read it, and the more I think about it, and the more it comes to my mind, the more meaningful Psalm 100 becomes to me. You know, we often think about what is possibly favorite verses that we have in the Scripture. And what I find out in my own life is that from time to time those verses change, that sometimes a particular verse will mean so much to me that it becomes what I feel like is my favorite verse. And I had a little Bible that I think I shared this with Brother Terry at home, that I had written in a long time ago when I was about 10 years old. And at that time I had written some things in that little Bible. It was one that Daddy had given me. I think he gave it to me about 1963, something like that. And I'd written in there what my favorite verse was, and it was in Romans 8, where it says over in Romans 8, and I should be able to quote that, but I want to make sure I don't misquote it, so I'll turn over there. An old Baptist preacher that can't quote Romans 8 is in kind of a lot of trouble. But it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that is a wonderful verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Kind of over the time and with thoughts, it seems like Psalm 100 has become a place that I go to quite often in my thoughts now. It's just such a precious psalm. I want to read it in your hearing. Again, please pray for me that the Lord would bless us with what we need tonight. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What a blessed, wonderful psalm the Lord gives us there in Psalm 100. I believe this is a psalm of David, and the very first phrase that we have here is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Tonight as we come, I hope that's what we're designed to do, every single one of us. I walked into the building tonight, and as I walked in the back, I could hear some noise going on. I didn't know really what kind of noise that was until I came into the room, and then when I came into the room, I saw brethren talking, and I saw one brother told me, he said, well, the preaching's already kind of begun here. We're talking about some wonderful things that I believe some joyful noise was being made and shared. That's good. I'm glad that when we come together, before the preaching starts and before anything is said from the pulpit, that we can have joyful noise that's made by God's little children. I hope it's not just here that we're making that joyful noise. I hope as we go along in life that we remember that every day that we live, this is the day the Lord has made, the psalmist wrote. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. That sounds like you and I are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're to rejoice, as we heard yesterday, and even in afflictions and tribulations and in trouble. And one place in the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if you and I just take a little time and stop and pause in the hustle and bustle of life, you and I will be overwhelmed to think about all the good things the Lord has done for us each and every day. And as a result of that, you and I have a responsibility. We've been called out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people who've been called forth to give praise and glory and honor to Almighty God, a people that were not a people, but now are the people of God. And you and I have a noise that we're to make. And that noise is not a murmur, not a complaint. Sometimes we do that, but that's not what God called us to do. God called us to make a joyful noise, and we're to make that noise unto Him. And that means in His name, to His honor, to His praise, and to His glory. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. And you and I have every reason, no matter our situation or our trouble, to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, notice this. He says, all ye lands. And I love to think about that, because in that verse, we've got God's children identified. All ye lands. Now, who does that mean? Does that mean everybody in the world? Well, we know from the scripture that the dead praise not the Lord. None of them will praise the Lord. The dead praise not the Lord. And in order to praise the Lord, you have to be alive. You have to be alive spiritually. You have to be brought out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. You have to be born again. You don't make a noise to get alive. You make a noise because you've been made alive. And that is the work of Almighty God. This psalm tells us that. But it also tells us that God has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, and out of every tongue, and out of every people. He says, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Now, is that talking about everybody? Well, everybody ought to, but everybody will not. And the dead cannot. They will not. They have no ability to. They have no will to. They don't desire to. But God's little children, out of all lands, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, whoever we are tonight that are born of the Spirit of God, we are not given a suggestion to do this. We're given a commandment to do this. You and I have something to do, and that something to do doesn't make us alive, but because we are alive, and we find it from this scripture, where our life comes from, we're to make a joyful noise. And tonight, that's my duty. That's my responsibility. And I'm not to do it with sadness. I'm not to do it with duty being the only reason I'm here. It ought to be my joy and my privilege anytime that I get to share with one of God's little children that's thirsty a cup of cold water. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. It's as cold water to a thirsty soul. It's good news from a far country. The gospel's not good news from across town. It's not good news from another country in the sense of country on this earth. It's good news from a far country. The gospel is the message of God's grace that comes down to us from Almighty God in heaven. It's a good gift. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And therefore, we're to give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for the gift that He gives us. So if you're ever in a meeting and you hear a joyful sound, well, number one, if you're able to hear a joyful sound, that's enough to be happy about. You've got every reason in life to be happy. Because there are many people that hear the joyful sound, that is that good news from a far country, and it's not good news to them. They don't want it. They don't like it. They don't enjoy it. It means nothing to them. And until the Lord fits the receiver, that means you can transmit the message, but until the Lord gives you a receiver, you can't hear the message. You can't understand the message. You can't see the message. The eye hath not seen it. The ear has not heard it. Neither has the heart understood it. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. And I'll tell you, that joyous message, that joyous noise is a peculiar sound. It's not just a sound of anything or anyone talking about anything or anyone. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that special message of what Jesus has done for His people in saving His people from their sin. And it is indeed a joyful sound. In Psalm 89, we hear this in verse 15. Another verse that's very familiar to you that could easily become your favorite as you study and look at it. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Tonight, I speak to you the joyful sound, and I believe you already know the joyful sound that I'm trying to share. I believe you know this. We sing a hymn that says, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me that story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. We want to hear it again and again. We sing the same songs over and over. We hear the same verses preached on over and over. We have the same conversations. We have conversations today that I imagine if I live until next week, we'll probably have those same conversations next week. And what I found, I remember back in my life and for many times when the dear brethren would meet here at this church, many of them that had gone home to be with the Lord, we had those wonderful conversations, and they were very similar, very much the same conversations as I heard tonight as I came walking through the door, as we've sung tonight, the hymns that we've sung, and what I'm making an effort to preach on tonight. It's not the first time I've made an effort to talk about this. It's a joyful sound, and that sound that I heard so long ago is still, as a matter of fact, it isn't just the same old sound. It's a sound that grows sweeter and sweeter as the years go by. I hope you found that to be the case. The message of God's grace doesn't get old, it gets sweet. There are some people who get worried about preaching about grace, and they say if you preach too much grace, you'll put people to sleep, so to speak, in the cradle of grace, that you'll rock them to sleep in grace. And so sometimes people think we need to leave grace off a little bit and get more on those deeper things and harder things. Now listen, grace doesn't include things that aren't deep. As a matter of fact, the depth of grace is something that I can preach tonight, and when I'm finished, another preacher could stand and preach, and all the preachers together collectively over time standing and preach. And just like the Old Testament said, the half has not been told. When we get done this tonight, the half will yet be told about the grace of Almighty God. And listen, grace is what's going to carry us home to be with the Lord in glory. But grace is what gets me through tonight. I need grace to preach. You need grace to hear. You needed grace to get here. And you need grace to be here. And you'll need grace to get home. You'll need grace from this time until you go to your very death. And at death, you'll need His grace. And what's wonderful about God's grace, it comes in all many manifold ways. The manifold grace of God. Whatever grace it is that you stand in need of, God has that grace. His grace is sufficient. And that's a joyful sound. And you're blessed tonight. He says, blessed is that people that knoweth the joyful sound. Do you know the joyful sound tonight? Well, then you're blessed. If you know the joyful sound, it isn't because mama gave it to you, or daddy gave it to you, or the preacher gave it to you, or the Sunday school teacher gave it to you, or anybody else gave it to you. They might have had it, and they might have known it, but until God gives it to you, you cannot enjoy it. But once He's given it to you, all you have a duty, don't you? And that duty is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. As one of His little children that is among the lands of this world, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And if you are able to do that, that means you're blessed. You're blessed in doing it, and you're blessed to be able to do it. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, and those that know the joyful sound, they are the ones that shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. Isn't it good tonight to know that we have one who is our light? How dark this church would be tonight if we didn't have any light. And we could go outside and cut the lights off and shut the lights off in this building. And you and I would, if we cut it completely dark, we'd be stumbling all around. It's hard to get around in the dark, isn't it? I mean, all you have to do is have a place that's really, really dark, and you might know it very well. And it's amazing. You think something's here and it's over there, and you think you know where you're at, and you get all turned around and twisted and confused. And I'm telling you, God's little children in this world are in a dark, cold place. You're in a place that you need light. You need light not only on Sunday when you come to church. We need it here, but we need His light to carry us through every situation that we'll face in this world. My little daughter wants to get to this meeting and wants to be here because she understands this is a dark world and I need some light. What's good is that the light we have here can also be with them right there, wherever they're at, there in Breckenridge Court, there in Strasburg. That light is there. And I'm not saying that when you're able to come to church, you ought not be at church, and that there's a special blessing in being at church. But I'm sure glad that God isn't limited just to the walls of this building, aren't you? You know, there are some people who think, I'm going there to meet God, as if God isn't already wherever you are. You know, God is everywhere you are. He's nowhere absent. He's everywhere present. That's the God that we serve. Our God is not a little God. He's not a weak God. He's not a God I have to put on a cart and carry to some foreign country and give to somebody who wouldn't have Him if I didn't give Him. Before the missionary ever gets to the place that God has sent him to go, if God indeed is in the effort and God is in the one that's being sent, there is someone that God has worked on when he gets there in order to be able to hear and receive the message. Listen, Philip wouldn't have helped the Ethiopian eunuch a bit if God hadn't already worked on the Ethiopian eunuch. And you see the evidence of that. Now, when he got there, he was a benefit, wasn't he? Why? Because God sent him, and He sent him where to go, and He sent him to the one he was supposed to go to. And God was in that matter. Listen, His light was shining on him in that chariot before Philip ever got there. What Philip did was just shine a little more light. He just made a joyful noise. That's all preachers do. That's what they're supposed to do. Sometimes they don't make joyful noises, though. Sometimes they come and try to scare you to death, and some of them do. Some men call preachers will try to scare you to death and cause to motivate you by getting you afraid. And what I heard the old brethren used to say, and still the truth, if you're motivated by fear, they got to keep you afraid to keep you motivated. And so they just keep God's little children's tore up all the time. And I know some of God's little children, you do too, that are just tore up all the time. They go to church, they don't feel better, they feel worse, and they feel worse in order to get motivated. And they feel like I either have to give a little more money or I've got to do a little more of this. And there's nothing wrong with giving when the Lord has called you to give. There's nothing wrong with being at church, and there's nothing wrong with doing the things God would have you to do. But I'll tell you what, our home in heaven is not dependent upon that. It's dependent upon what Jesus has done. And it is not a joyful sound to tell folks that they can do something they can't do. It's just a lie. And the truth is that our salvation is never going to be accomplished by what we do. It's accomplished in what He has done. And we don't do anything in the service of God to add to that work, because that work is finished and done. That's the joyful sound. Listen, the good news tonight is your salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. I want you to believe that. I don't want one of you to think I can add to that or I can do something to mess that up. Because listen, if you and I as men and women could do something to mess up the work of Jesus, we would have already done it and we would already be in trouble tonight. And I don't believe you as God's little children are in trouble. I believe you are in the safety of the well-keeping of a Savior who is not only desirous to save His people, but had the ability to do what God sent Him to do. I believe His truth will endure forever. He says that in the last verse, which means He cannot fail on one of His promises. Great is His faithfulness. And what He promised to do for us eternally, He has done, and it is finished. And what He promised to do for us in time, you and I can count on it. And we ought to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. And if I make that sound, that's going to be a joyful sound to God's little children. And if I don't make that sound, then it ain't going to make the sheep better. It'll make them sick. You know, a preacher can make sheep sick. He can scatter the flock. He can't make them be goats. He can't do that. You can't make a sheep a goat. You can't make a goat a sheep either. A preacher can't do that. It's God who causes. He's the one who calls a people that are not a people. And He's the one who works a work of grace in them. But a shepherd, a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, but He's called pastors and teachers and evangelists. And He called them to be under shepherds. And their job and their duty is, out of the love of Almighty God, they're to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. And the feed they're to give them is not a fear doctrine, but a comfort doctrine, a joy doctrine. It's the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but God works that in you. He's the one that causes you to respect Him and reverence Him. He does that in your heart. And that's a good, healthy fear. But you and I should never be afraid that our Heavenly Father is going to cast one of us eternally away from Him, because He promised He would not. And I believe the promises of God. You and I should believe His promises. Jesus was His name, wasn't it? You know why His name was Jesus? You do, don't you? For He what? Shall save His, all ye lands, His people from their sins. Isn't that good news? He didn't say, I'm going to try to do it, hope to do it. If you'll help me, I'll get it done. He said He was going to do it. Tonight, you and I are resting. The joyous sound. The sound I heard when I walked in here. The sound we sang in every hymn. The sound I hope we share in our family this week. I hope when my children are in trouble, which they'll be in trouble, and I can share that with them. I hope I can share it with my grandchildren when they are facing trouble. I hope I can tell them about a Savior worthy of trust. Listen, a Savior who will love you today and cast you in hell tomorrow is not a Savior worthy of your trust. There's no Savior like that mentioned in God's Word. The Savior that we have in God's Word saved us from hell. He didn't threaten us with it. He saved us from that. He bore our hell in his own body in our room instead. And because He paid that price for us, His children, all ye lands, will never be held against us anymore. God wouldn't make His Son die on the cross and then give us the payment of hell as a result. If His Son paid it, it wouldn't be right to have it paid again. It wouldn't be just. Our God is just. And for every one of His sheep, which He knew. That's a beautiful lesson to know He knew you. Some people don't like the idea that He knew you when He died, that He didn't really know who He was dying for, because He died for everybody in hopes to get somebody. Really says He didn't really know who He died for. The reality is He knew exactly who He came for. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that stamp. The Lord knoweth them that are His. That means He knew every one of His children. When did He know them? He knew them before the very foundation of the world. Their names were written in that book, that eternal book, the Lamb's Book of Life. They were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. That means He knew His people and all ye lands. This is a joyful sound. Listen, His people out of all ye lands are to make that joyful sound. We're to make that joyful noise. If I come preaching something else, that's not joyful noise. And that'll make the little lambs and the sheep sick. I'll tell you, I've been in services where Not Old Baptist, thank the Lord. I have heard a few Old Baptists that got me a little upset, but I've never heard one that came with the flagrant ideas and thoughts that salvation was completely up to what a man does. And when I said unto that, whether it be at a funeral or some other place, and I hear some man stand up and say, Jesus has done all he can do and now it's up to you, that is not good news. That is not the joy. That's not the joyful sound. And it doesn't make me feel better. It causes me to groan and moan inside. And I want to say something. I just want to tell God's little lamb and God's little sheep that, listen, salvation is not some plan that man has. It is a purpose that God has, and He purposed to save His people from their sins, and He did that, and there's not one of them that will ever be lost. We want to sing that, we want to preach that, and we want to share that. Don't be ashamed of that gospel. Now, some people are going to hear it, they won't like it, but I'll tell you what, it's still the truth. And God's little children, I'll tell you what it'll make them, though. It'll make them happy. Blessed is that people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Verse 16 says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. You know what that doctrine does? It makes you rejoice. But it isn't rejoicing in what we've done. You know much how much time we ought to spend tonight talking about what we've done? That much. Because what we've done, it's like the old brother said, I did all the sinning, the Lord did all the saving. I've messed up. And what I've got to brag on is so very little. Sometimes I do it, but it's a waste of time and it's vain glory. Sometimes God's little children get wrapped up in that, don't we? We sometimes, it ought not to be. We've got something better to talk about. We've got some joyful noise to make. You ought to be a chattering little bunch tonight. You ought to be happy. You ought to be making a joyful noise, and you ought to be bragging. Not bragging on yourself, not bragging on a church, not bragging on what we've done, but bragging on the Lord and what He's done for us. We've got more to tell than we'll ever get told. How good He's been to you. How good has He been to you tonight? You got something to share? Oh, brethren, it's a blessing to share it. It'll make you happy, and it'll make others happy to hear it. Don't you love to hear God's little children? You know, when someone's bragging on what they've done for the Lord, it kind of gets you ill in your stomach. But when somebody's talking about how good the Lord's been to them, you talked about going to see that little sister that you said she makes you feel better. I know why she makes you feel better, because she's talking about a joyful sound. She's trusting in one. And when I was over at my dear aunt's the other day, and she looked at me and she said, you know, she said, you know, what are you doing on Monday? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, you know, I got this surgery. And I said, yeah, I'm planning on being there. She said, well, I didn't want to ask you. She said, but I was kind of hoping you'd come. And before I left, she looked at me and she said, would you pray with me? And I said, oh, you know how, what a joyful sound that was for me. That she would ask that I would pray for, that we would pray together. You know what that says to me? It says to me something's going on there. Something, the Lord's working on her. And the Lord has done something for her. And she had a desire. You know why you have a desire to pray? If you had a desire to pray, I'll tell you why you had a desire to pray. Because the Spirit of Almighty God has woken you to your need of prayer. She recognized, not that she wasn't just praying that she would have to get through this all right, but that the Lord would be with her. She recognizes, I don't know how long I got to live. I don't know what's coming my way. I don't know what I'm going to face. But she does know this. By faith, she understands this. I need the Lord. If I live, I need the Lord. And if I die, I need the Lord. And so I certainly right now want to be looking to Him. And the Lord willing, if the Lord will bless me, we'll be there in the morning. We'll share together some joyful sound. Now, who's going to give us the joyful sound to share with one another? Well, if we have it, the Lord will give it. And when we have it, it'll be about Him. We'll be giving Him the praise and the honor and the glory. And as you're praying, listen, as you're praying unto the Lord, you know what you're making? A joyful sound. You're expressing the faith that God has given you, that I believe. He that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You cannot come to Him without faith. And you can't have faith without life. Life comes first. He gives you faith. And with your faith, you make a joyful noise. You share the gospel from faith to faith. We heard yesterday that one of the brethren, I believe it was, I don't remember which one it was so many good things said, it's not just the preachers who preach. They preach from the pulpit, but God's little children preach every day. How do they do that? They make a joyful sound. They make it with their feet. They have their feet. If they put on the armor of God, their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the gospel. That's good news. If they're wearing the armor of God, their loins are girt about with the truth. That's the message of grace. And you're wearing that as you put on the armor. If you got your breastplate on, it's a breastplate of righteousness, which is a declaration that my righteousness is not my own. My righteousness is but as filthy rags. But my righteousness is in what Jesus did for me. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And isn't that good news to hear that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And because of that, I have a breastplate that will hold up in the battle. I have my loins girded with something that will stand up in the battle. I've got something for my feet so that when I bump into life's pricks and stumbles, you need a good pair of boots when you walk through the woods. And when you're in this world, you need some shoes for your feet and to help you with your walk. And there's nothing that more than the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation means it's put on, it's applied. You could think of it as ornament, or you could think of it as boots. It's what you're wearing on your feet. And I ask you, doesn't the gospel help you walk? Does it not help you walk? And when you and I get outside of the truth of the gospel, the joyful sound, then we don't walk in the light of His countenance. And in Thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. That means by the grace of Almighty God we're lifted up. God's little sheep come together, poor, weak, feeble. And the lower you are, the better off you are. When you come recognizing I can't do a thing. Listen, I can't without Him, I can't do a thing. I need Him for everything. When we pray, we need the Lord. When we sing, we need the Lord. When we love one another, we need the Lord. When we preach, we need the Lord. When we hear preaching, we need the Lord. When we face life's troubles, we need the Lord. We need Him in everything we do. And the more we see we need Him, the more He exalts us and lifts us up. The more we call on Him, the more He answers. We never outgive the Lord. Whatever we have given to Him, as we've already said, He had to first give it to us. And we receive so many times over. I remember a minister, I think he misspoke when he said this. I said, you'll never get any more out of the service of God than you put in it. I know what he was trying to say, but he misspoke. We get every time much more out of it than we ever put in it. What he was saying, the more you put in, the more you get out. Now that is true. That's the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow a little, you gain a lot more, but you don't gain as much as if you sow a lot. And if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And it is true, the more that we sow, the more that we'll reap. But I'll tell you, you'll always get more out of it than you'll ever be able to put in it. And we don't want to make a reference if we don't get any more out of it than we put in it. That would be wouldn't be good news. Would that be good news for you tonight? It wouldn't be a joyful sound to me. A joyful sound is you cannot give the Lord. What His grace is so wonderful. He says, for Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. That means our strength and our power is in the favor of the Lord. What makes us strong tonight? If we're strong tonight, you are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And Ephesians 6 was a lot on my mind tonight, that armor of God. We kind of got to some of that. But be strong in the Lord. I want to say that tonight. We said it before. I want to say it again. That's part of the joyful sound. Be strong in the Lord. We don't have any strength in ourselves, but you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And for the Lord is our defense. Is that good news tonight? You got some defense? When you're in the world, you need some offense, but you need some defense, don't we? And the defense here, the Lord is our defense. He's also our offense. And the Holy One of Israel is our King. Listen, that's who we serve tonight. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Getting back to Psalm 100. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And that means when you come to church, you ought to be glad you're coming. You ought not say, some people say, well, if they're not coming, we better go grab them and put the arm behind their back and bring them in the door any way we can. I'll tell you what you have when you have that, you got a mess. what you have. Now, is it important for us to encourage our brethren to come to church? You better believe it. Is it important for us to be faithful in doing that? You better believe it. Is it something we can force them to do? You better think we cannot. And if we do force them to do that, what you have is not anything you want. That won't happen. But I'll tell you what can happen. When God's little children get down on their knees and they pray and ask the Lord, the Lord can cause people to be happy. You know, have you ever thought, I'm sure there's some of you tonight who thinks the last, if you can look back at a point in your life and you'd have thought the last place you'd want to be on a Sunday night is sitting in a church meeting house, especially if you've been to church at any other time during the day. Now, you know, it would be like some people look at it this way. Well, if I go on Saturday and I put in a little bit of time, that ought to take care of next Sunday and this Sunday. It ought to take, you know, as long as I put in my time, as long as I get my time in. And sometimes we can get like that in our thinking. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not picking and making fun either. I'm just simply saying in our flesh, sometimes we see our services different than the Bible says we're supposed to see them. It is our duty to be here tonight. I believe that with all my heart. As a minister of the gospel, I'd be unfaithful not to say that. But if you just come because it was duty that brought you here, you and I, if we've done that, if I'm just in this pulpit because duty demands that I be in the pulpit, am I serving the Lord with gladness? Or am I just doing what I think is my duty? The Bible says those who know the joyful sound are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we're to serve Him with gladness. That means every chance I get, every opportunity I get, when I have an opportunity to read His Word, I ought to be thankful I can read His Word. When I have an opportunity to pray, which we ought to be doing, I ought to be thankful I'm able to do that. I ought not see the study of God's Word as a duty that's demanded, even though He's told me to study as a minister. And you as members are told to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. It ought to be our delight to study His Word. It ought to be our delight to pray. The hymn writer said, sweet hour of prayer. And sometimes in our practice, if we would pray for an hour, we'd think, boy, that was mighty tedious to really truly pray for an hour. But the hymn writer said, sweet hour of prayer. And not only sweet hour, but really, prayer is not just an activity that you're engaged in when you're thinking about it. It ought to be the thoughts in our hearts. It ought to be the intents of our hearts to be in a prayer and in a communication with our Lord. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you can always stop and have a formal prayer and get down on your knees. But as you go through your days, remember the Lord is with you. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. And when you're not thinking right, say, Lord, help me. When you get one of those fiery darts come from the devil and say, Lord, help me hold my shield. Lord, give me the faith I need. Lord, help me be faithful. And remember to communicate with Him and then to serve the Lord with gladness. Tonight, I believe, I came in, and y'all look like you were glad. You might be fooling me, but you look like you were glad to be here. I don't know if I continue to talk and talk and talk, will you still be as glad or not? I don't want to test that too much, but Brother Junior says try. Anyway, what I'm saying is we ought to be so thankful when the Lord gives us an opportunity. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good it is for our meetings when we get there and we have the feeling and the blessings of the Lord, when you can feel His presence, when you can feel Him in the singing and you can feel Him in the fellowship, and when you hug your brethren, you're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and you feel the love that flows from breast to breast, and it's not fake. Listen, there's so much fake and fraud, so many things that's not true in this world. It's wonderful and refreshing to have the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has built, where you have true love, true sincerity, the true gospel, the truth being shared, and it's not anything men could have ever designed. That's why it's different than any place in this world. And when men try to get something, they mess it up. And if you and I try to add to it, we're going to mess it up, because He's put in it everything we need. And like we heard today, if we add a little something to it, we've got too much in it. If we leave something out, we don't have enough. So we're to use what He has. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 122 tells us a wonderful lesson. And Psalm 122, I know that you know that psalm. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I hope that's the way you feel about coming to church. And if it's not, I hope the Lord will pray. And what we want for our brethren is for all our brethren, all of our members to feel that. And can we make them feel that? No. Can you force them to feel that? No. What can we do? We can pray. And we're to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, stir their heart. And Lord, as we pray, Lord, help me love it better. Help me want it more. Help me desire it more. Lord, make it be that which I feel truly in my heart, not just what I say. Verse 4 of that 122nd Psalm says, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Why is it good to go to the house of the Lord? Because here's where we come to give Him thanks. Do you have a reason to be here tonight? Well, the answer to that is, do you have anything to thank Him for? Will we ever get done? The Lord has been so good to me, right? I want to praise His name. I was glad because I could get to the house of the Lord. And this is the church that He's given us to do this. He's given us this place and told us how to do it, given us His Word, given us the truth to share, blessed men to write wonderful hymns that we're able to sing. We come before His presence. We're singing. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord in our singing. We come before His presence in singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And as He tells us in Ephesians 5 and the Colossians, He says, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And we ought to do that with gladness. And He says, and I'm not near done, but I am going to stop. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. I want that to be our message tonight, to know that our God is God. We're not just here serving a false god or a little idol. We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is the one who has made us. He made us physically. He made us spiritually. We didn't evolute ourselves into being. We were created by Almighty God, naturally. And the same God who made us naturally, if we're spiritual, is the one who regenerated us and made us alive spiritually. We didn't evolute into place naturally, and we didn't evolute into place spiritually. We are creation, God's creation. You are first Adam, created naturally, and then you are made new creatures in Christ Jesus through the new birth by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. That sure takes the work system out of it, doesn't it? And then He says, we are His people. That means you belong to Him. You're not your own. Sometimes I want to do my thing, and I think I got a right to do whatever I want to. Well, that would be true if I was my own. It would never really be true, because we are by creation. We are His by creation and obligated to serve Him, though we won't do that in our fallen state unless He makes us new creatures. And once we're new creatures, we're no longer our own. You're bought with a price, and that price was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the right just to live any way we want to. We belong to Him. We are His slaves. We are His bond servants. Men don't like that, but it's still true. It's the truth. And then He says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You're not goats, you're sheep. And you're in His pasture. He's led you by green pastures and still waters. And then He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And that's what we ought to be about in every single meeting that we have and every single day that we live. That ought to be our desire, that whatsoever I do it in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, will I do that completely? No, never will. That's why grace is such a wonderful, joyous sound. But it ought to be my desire. And in the inward man, it is our desire. We delight in the law of God after the inward man. And then verse 5, He said, for the Lord is good. And when we think about Him, He is the good shepherd, isn't He? The Lord is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And the Lord is good. He's pictured in that Good Samaritan, by the way, also. That Good Samaritan came where that one was on the side of the road. He had exactly what the one needed. He supplied those needs. He not only came where he was, He gave him what he needed. And listen, as our Good Samaritan, He came to us where we were, and He gave us exactly what we needed. And anything further that we needed, He said, when I return, I'll pay that as well. Jesus paid it all. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? He's a good Lord. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. What was that Psalm 136, I believe it was read this weekend, all 26 verses of it. Everyone gives a phrase in the beginning that tells of a great work of God. And then it says, for His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever. And here the psalmist says, His mercy is everlasting. I believe that's the truth. And when you hear of His mercy, think of His love. Because it's His love that gives us His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. What that simply says is that He will fulfill every promise that He has ever made. He'll fulfill those eternal ones. He'll fulfill those in time. So that you and I, who have been promised eternal life, can trust Him for the life we live day in and day out. Our temporal, if you would, timely salvation every day is supplied by Him. Where do you leave grace out? Somebody said you preach too much grace. When can I leave it out? Do we need grace to die by? Absolutely. Do we need grace to live by? Absolutely. Do I need grace to be saved eternally? Absolutely. Do I need His grace to be saved temporally every day? It's His grace that'll get you home tonight if you get home. It's His grace that'll keep you. And when we look to Him and His grace and we trust in the Lord, we're to believe on Him. He's worthy of that trust. He will supply unto us everything that we stand in need of. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. And I hope you're still glad. I hope you're still glad. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. I hope you were glad. I hope you're still glad. I love you, brother. God bless you. I give the Lord the praise. Amen.